Back in the United States, Desert Fox looked different to some. At the time, it was fashionable to dismiss the operations as mere avoidance by the Clinton administration, as simply throwing cruise missiles at a problem that required more than that. David Kay, a more sober observer, also was skeptical at the time about the effects of Desert Fox. It was only years later, after his Iraqi survey group, the U.S. government's post-war effort to find Iraq's supposed stockpiles of weapons of mass destruction, had interviewed and interrogated 200 officials from Iraqi weapons programs, that he realized that the four-day campaign had indeed had a devastating effect, far more than had been appreciated back in Washington. His post-invasion survey found, to his surprise, that after 1998, the Iraqi weapons programs, with the exception of missile building, withered away and never got momentum again. In a series of in-depth post-war interrogations, a score of veterans of Iraqi weapons programs told Kay's group that the Desert Fox raids had left Iraqi weaponeers demoralized and despairing. They realized that they'd never be able to reestablish the type of industrial facility they were aiming at, he said in an interview. They'd spent years, lots of money and lots of energy on it, years and years, and they realized that as long as Saddam was in power, they'd never be able to reestablish production. In short, they'd given up. The other point that Desert Fox made to Iraqis was that visible elements of weaponry, such as missile programs, which require a large, easily observed infrastructure such as engine test stands, could be hammered at any time. Kay added that he was taken aback to hear their accounts. For me, it was a bit of an eye-opener, because I'd always denigrated Desert Fox. What I failed to understand was that it was cumulative, coming on top of 8 years of sanctions. More than the physical damage, it was the devastating psychological effect that had really counted. And that was what U.S. intelligence assessments had missed in examining Iraq during the run-up to the war, he decided. But there also was an unexpected disadvantage to the success of Desert Fox. As Saddam reacted by tightening his internal controls, Iraqis inside the country in contact with U.S. intelligence grew far more wary. The Senate Intelligence Committee, in a 2004 autopsy of the intelligence failures made in handling Iraq, would report that after the raids, the U.S. intelligence community did not have a single human intelligence source collecting against Iraq's weapons of mass destruction programs. A catastrophic side effect of this new lack of information was that it led to a data vacuum in which the basis for the United States going to war 5 years later would be created. All sorts of wild claims could be made about Saddam's armaments programs in 2002 that later would be proven wrong, but at the time couldn't be refuted. Zinni's conclusion was that U.S. policy on Iraq succeeded in the late 90s. Containment worked. Look at Saddam. What did he have? Zinni asked later. He didn't threaten anyone in the region. He was contained. It was a pain in the ass, but he was contained. He had a deteriorated military. He wasn't a threat to the region. And what's more, he said, it wasn't a particularly costly effort. We contain day-to-day with fewer troops than go to work every day at the Pentagon. It was sometimes messy and it could have been done better, especially if sanctions had been dropped. But it had worked.